Hi, I'm Jo Allen. I'm a holistic health teacher and founder of The Humble Warrior based in St. Leonard's-on-Sea.
Hello, I'm Heidi Rickson and I'm a Reiki healer, teacher and sound healer.
Welcome to Resonance Space. Hello and welcome to Resonance Space, and today we are talking about diet in all its forms and why it's important to really be aware of what we're intaking.
Taking in regularly.
Yeah.
Diet is quite a scary word for many people because when you say diet, what do you think of when you say diet?
I think of like diet culture and dieting and diet pills and diet books and horrible diets.
This is not about the scary kind of diet.
No.
So why is diet so important? It's what we take in. So food, drink, and what we watch. Media, movies, TV. And then social media as well. What other kinds of diet are there?
Music.
Mm-hmm.
Just what you surround yourself with, I think. So it can be people in terms of that.
People diet.
A people diet. Who have I eaten today? No. I think it's everything that kind of, you know, is you take in, as you say, kind of. From all different angles, so that can be everything, really, like technology, diets.
Right. Now, did you find that when you transition from your old life into the life you're living now with your yoga and sound healing and all the things you're doing, did you find that your dietary preferences changed?
I don't know exactly at what point, but it had to change because when I was living a bit more of a stressful existence, let's say, my diet was terrible, as in what I ate and drank was awful, because it was convenience and it was not mindful, not very kind to myself. So it had to change. I can't remember at what point the light bulb moment went off and I thought, I can't keep just doing this to myself. But yes, it definitely has changed.
So would you say that your like drinking habits, as in water, coffee, drinking anything else, has that changed as well or does that remain?
Yeah, definitely. I used to drink way too much alcohol. Just to get through the day, I think. It was just that kind of like... Also, it was a habit. It was a pattern of, you know, it was just a habit. I probably do drink more water now. And coffee... Yeah, caffeine was a crux, definitely, to get me through the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly probably because of the alcohol the night before. So, you know, it was that kind of vicious cycle. But, the balance has definitely changed. And I do love, you know, healthy juices. I probably always did because I thought, oh, I better get some sort of vitamins into my into my system. But yeah, not in any sort of informed way. Now I just am a lot more conscious of drinking like herbal teas with turmeric in, and you know, going through the different benefits, I suppose, of what I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you find that knowing that number one, it's not only nourishing your body in some way, but number two, that it's good for you generally. Do you find that that has any bearing on what your experience of consuming it is? Like if you drink tea and you know it's really good for you, but it's not sweet or doesn't have a certain flavor that you would prefer.
Mm.
Do you find that a problem at all?
I've probably got less of a sweet tooth now, so I'm probably more likely to drink those things and kind of get used to them rather than go, ooh, yuck. You know, I'll just go, oh, okay, this is what it tastes like, and I'll just probably keep going with it a bit.
Do you make your choices on what you think you need or just your taste preferences?
A bit of both.
I think people's dietary habits are fascinating because it really gives you a window into who they are, what they're all about.
Yeah.
Things like that.
I find it fascinating as well, because I suppose there's so much on social media, if we talk about, you know, sort of influences when it comes to diet, because that's immediately what I go to when I think of a diet. I think of a diet, like just restricting yourself. And that feels really negative and damaging, because it's like, why am I restricting myself, you know, and eating things that I don't enjoy? Like, I'm sure I used to do that all the time. You know, I'd eat a salad because I was like, oh, you know, this is better for me. Oh, it doesn't taste of anything. Whereas now, if I make a salad, I'm doing it because I love salad and it's tasty, and I'm putting in the things that I love and enjoy, and I'm not doing it to punish myself. So I feel like that's a major difference.
So instead of focusing on the negative aspect on...
Yeah, of like, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't drink this. I shouldn't have this. Thinking, oh, what do I actually want? And making a healthy choice within that. Because I've never been one to sort of like just go for a Coca-Cola, you know, but it's, and it's not because I think it's bad for me. I just don't particularly like the synthetic taste. And Diet Coke tastes even worse to me because it's got, I don't know what it's got in it, but it just tastes like, yeah, just synthetic. So I just don't go for it. But then if someone gave me, like, you get these like natural colas now, I'm like, oh, I'll try that. You know, it's not, yeah, it's interesting.
Well, I think, because, well, as I've kind of progressed through my energy work and my holistic healing work, I find that my dietary choices have definitely changed. And not really because I'm thinking a lot about it. I've just noticed that I'm drinking less coffee. Just because, not because I don't think I should, just because my body is telling me.
You're more aware, I suppose, of what you want or need, or,
And
it's not a habit.
Yeah, exactly.
Because mine is definitely a habit with coffee. I wake up, I just immediately have to have a coffee. And there's no real reason behind that. It's not like I must have a coffee to function. If we'd run out of coffee, I would still be able to get through the day, but it's just my habit. I was like, right, morning, coffee, ready to go.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, I enjoy it. I'm not ever going to stop that, but it's definitely a habit. So it's about being aware, I suppose, of what's a habit and what it is you really enjoy and what it is you really need. Because if I got into a habit of having 4 coffees a day, that's probably not going to be great for my nervous system. And you can feel yourself building sometimes. Like sometimes if I'm feeling a bit sluggish or whatever's happening, I will have like 2 and then I'll go, oh, I can feel the jitters coming on. But you know, it's very easy to fall into habits that aren't healthy without even realizing it.
Well, a lot of it too is, like you said, habit. That's and then the people that we spend time around that can contribute to what we decide to consume, and that goes for food, drink.
Oh, everything. Yeah, definitely. What I notice when watch. Well, my partner has his kids. Our diet and everything we consume is totally different because obviously it's geared around what they want.
Sure.
And I'm just like, oh, you know, we're just having a lot of burgers and chips and and that sort of thing. But, and then I just think, well, why is that a thing? Because surely the habits around the kids should be even healthier than our habits, you know, our eating habits or our diet, because they're at the point where they're growing and needing the most kind of like support with nutrients and sort of thing. But again, it's this a society habit that is, I think, that kids just eat pizza and burgers and chips.
Like an identity.
Just like, it's just what they're given, isn't it? Chicken nuggets, whatever. You know, you just go, you know, and you kind of think, oh, that's a habit that's formed early. So I guess we have to then break that habit at some point. You know, at what point do we go from eating a lot of processed food because it's the only thing that our parents can get into us to make sure that we eat? Because that's what it is, I think, at the end of the day, is that they're just like, oh God, as long as they eat something, at least they're fine, you know? And then, so then that's sort of a habit that we pick up. And it's like, at what point do we, you know, we're starting to make our own choices around what our diets. And that surely is going to be formed by our earlier years. We're not immediately going to go, well, now I'm going to have an apple. Because you just, you know, unless it's been introduced, I suppose, or the diet is, I don't know, it's interesting, isn't it?
It is. But it ties back into being aware of what you're doing. So mindfulness, really.
Definitely. Yeah, I think so. Because also I think in terms of diet and what I like to eat, when I'm being mindful and I'm not just taking what I'm having what I'm given sort of thing, I also think a lot around kind of brain health when it comes to diet.
Mm-hmm.
Or I used to think a lot more about it. I need to kind of come back to it, I think. Because my dad had dementia before he passed away. And so that's in my, and Alzheimer's runs in my family. So it's kind of in my thought process quite a lot. And at one point I was very clean eating and obsessive with what was good for my brain health. I've relaxed a little bit now because I think, you know, there's kind of, again, it's that restriction part of it that doesn't necessarily sit well with me. And I think it's all about balance. And I'm always talking in everything that I do about finding that balance. Because you've got to enjoy your food as well, or whatever your, you know, your intake, your diet, I think. So that's why I do think that kind of the lack, the negativeness around diet just needs to go.
Right.
And it should be about positivity around diet. So what do I enjoy and actually what's good? And sometimes have a, you know, have pizza. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what's like quite, like people just really torture themselves in a diet. Whereas you can look at a diet. So if I look at a diet of brain health, and it is around whole foods and nuts, and, you know, there's all these, you know, things that are kind of going to support your brain health as you go through into old age. And then I pick things that I like out of that. I don't force myself to eat every single thing because sometimes it doesn't work for me. So, yeah, you're right. It's about mindfulness and awareness and picking what works for you.
I think part of the reason why it's so difficult is because we look to the people that know, and I'm doing air quotes right now, the people that know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of the food pyramid. Do you remember the food pyramid with,
with
grains and bread, like bread and grains and basically carbohydrates
down
the bottom, making up the huge amount.
Yeah.
And then as you get close to the top, it's more like protein, and then fat. It's just like tiny little.
Yes. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because that's probably what we were taught. But now you get kind of social media where things are demonized. So suddenly it's like, don't eat, you know, wheat, don't eat gluten. And, you know, you get caught up in a kind of fad and a phase and a basically marketing. Get caught up in marketing, suddenly thinking that gluten's bad for you. But it's only actually bad for people that are gluten intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole population goes, oh, I'm not having gluten. And you're like, but why?
Right.
It's actually, you know, if you look at the, I'm not a scientist in terms of nutrition in any way, but, you know, there's, if I read into it, there's many benefits of having grains. You know, it's not the devil. So it's just like, but it's what then we're fed. So that's then the social media diet that we're fed. And how we process that down and what comes out the other side. And a lot of people kind of misinterpret information, or there's a scary amount of information out there that's wrong.
There's just a scary amount of information out there, period.
Yeah, it's exactly. Very, so how do you distinguish?
Very
how do
difficult.
You, who do you listen to?
Yeah,
which
exactly.
diet is the right one? You know, in any sort of given day, I can look at whatever it is that where I get my information. And there'll be something else about a diet and a different diet and, oh, you should do keto, or you should do intermittent fasting, or you should do this, or you should do that. Oh my God. Like, you know, how do you get the right information?
Well, I guess, why is it so important that you are aware of your diet? Well, because it affects your body, it affects your mind, it affects your emotions, it affects your immediate and long-term future
as well. Absolutely. And that's what I think we don't realise as well. I think I had a bit of a light bulb moment recently listening to something, again, talking about Alzheimer's and the different genes that we have, and whether if we have the gene, it means we definitely get it, or if we... And basically it was just saying that there's only certain genes that mean you will definitely get it. Most of the genes mean that you're more likely to. But if you take that probability away through diet and lifestyle, you're less likely to. You know, it's about kind of going, right, so I shouldn't be having refined sugar because that's more likely, if I have this gene, going to give me that disease, you know, later in life. And it's the two decades running up to when you're most likely to kind of get the symptoms, be, you know, your brain basically succumbs to the disease. The two decades running up to that is when you actually need to make those decisions to stop it. Basically.
Prevention is better than
exactly. And then I treatment. Think people just don't, I mean, I don't know if that's good or bad, but you know, we kind of live in the now at the moment, which is a good thing most of the time. We're always saying live in the now, live in the moment. But with things like diet, if we just have the things that we immediately crave, which is usually refined sugar, it's, you know, fat, it's those sort of things, because we have got ourselves a bit addicted to them. It's also an addiction. Long term, that's really not going to give us the best benefits. We're really, you know, it's going to sort of damage us long term, but we don't think about that really.
Mm.
I certainly don't. And unless I step back and go, oh, yes, one minute.
Well, for me, I mean, I've been lifting weights since I was 16 years old and got into that whole fitness culture very young.
Yeah.
So I've always, since I was a young adult, been aware of nutrition and diet. I mean, I can't even tell you how many boneless, skinless chicken breasts and steamed broccoli that I've eaten in my life because of that.
Yeah.
Wasn't until, I would say, the last maybe 3 to 5 years that I've been able to get past that, what I've learned, and incorporate fats back into my diet without feeling weird about it.
Because that was an ingrained belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, more of my diet is fats than, say, simple carbohydrates. But I'm weird because my diet's weird. I've been eating quote unquote clean, whatever, for so long.
Yeah.
That when I eat something, not outside the boundaries because I don't really have any, if I eat something, say, that has vegetable oil in it, I feel sick, like physically ill.
Mm.
And you would think, and it's same with sugar. If I have something with sugar, I basically turn into a raving lunatic for about 20 minutes and hop around like I'm the Easter Bunny.
Yep.
And then,
so all children.
Yeah, basically. And then
because you're not immune to it.
And
I
just fall on the floor and just can't move.
And that's why children behave so, you know, have that reaction to sugar, because they're not, that is not their whole diet. Well, hopefully not. You know? some might be, but you know, that reaction is because you don't have it in your diet. So you have an extreme reaction to it.
I do.
And so most people just eat something sweet every day. I do. I have a sweet tooth, unfortunately. And so I don't have that reaction to it. It's just as part of my diet.
Now, if you're thinking that, ooh, wouldn't that be a great thing to have? If you ate things that are not what you want to put in your body, you have a physical reaction. It's not always comfortable. Could get awkward at times because other people around me, they offer me food and I don't want it because I don't eat it.
Mm.
And then, like, especially in this culture, that could be considered rude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then people think, well, why doesn't she want to eat it? Is that saying she actually criticizing my diet because she doesn't want it? And then it gets into that whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, eating is a social thing, really. Mm-hmm. And so they're eating and drinking is a social thing. And that sort of stems to alcohol as well as, you know, just, you know, have a tea and a cake. You know, there's so many sort of instances where it's like, oh, you know, it's a kind of bonding experience. So it is very difficult, I suppose, if you decide that that's not for you, you know, to kind of like remove yourself a little bit, because people do wonder why, because it's so accepted and normal.
Yeah, I know. I'm weird anyway, but I think...
Stop saying you're weird. You're not weird.
I've kind of...
Although weird is good, to be fair.
I developed the way to deal with that. Is I can actually, it's a mindset. If I'm going into a social situation, then I know there's going to be food that I don't normally eat being offered. If I get my head around it ahead of time and say, right, this is what I'm going to do.
Yes,
and I tell my whole body, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
So don't be silly and react stupidly. I'm just going to eat, you know, little bits of this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. You're always going to be fine. I just think it's that sort of social anomaly, because, like, you know, people that I know that have given up alcohol, you know, and they have to go to a wedding and they're just dreading it because they're like, oh God, you know, the whole point of a wedding in this country is, you know, get the service over with and then basically onto the, you know, the food and the drinks and the dancing. And that's just not their, you know, that's just not going to be their comfort zone. So they really have to just go, oh, okay. And all the questions from the people, why aren't you drinking? La, 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 la. And it's just, and it's quite unfair, really, when it's a lifestyle choice that you've made. You know, you don't, you know, grill people that run and go, why are you doing that? Yeah. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing, you know, it's like, because it's good for me.
You're not answering them by offering them a carrot and say, why don't you eat this? Oh, why don't you want to eat that?
Yeah, exactly.
Turn the table, see? Yeah.
But then I think that is what, going back to what I said about people as a diet, like, and you laughed at me. But I think there's an energy diet, because if you surround yourself with people that are influencing you in a kind of certain way, that's what you're ingesting.
Mm.
You know, if you are someone, yeah, who has, I don't know, a belief, and you surround yourself by someone with many, you know, very opposite beliefs, that's what you're taking in. And it could be in a good way, in terms that it challenges you and you might want to say, okay, no, I see your point of view. Or it could just be really overwhelming because you've got all, you know, this weight of opinions that are on you and you don't agree with them. And so is it better to take yourself out of that equation and you know, sort of get rid of that part of your the diet and the energy that you're sort of taking in?
I've actually had challenges like this somewhat recently. Well, it's part of what I do is I deal a lot with the general public in some situations. So yeah, I know. So you really don't have a choice. You've got to interact with other people. Doesn't matter what they eat, what their energy is like. Well, I don't like being around people that smoke. That's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an ex-smoker. That means I'm the worst. Like, ew, it's so gross. You know. But you have to kind of be aware that other people's behavior and opinions and energy can influence you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. In the same way that media and social media can.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to a certain opinion all the time, it starts to sink into that subconscious part of the brain, and you might not be completely susceptible to it, but some people might be. Mm-hmm. They might suddenly go, oh, well, that must be true then. I've heard that so many times, you know. So, yeah, I think diet is many forms, and it's you know, it's your physical body, it's your mind, it's your emotions, and that's why it's important to really be aware of what you're taking in all different forms, because then it all links together, doesn't it?
So how does one go about that without being too daunting? I mean, it sounds like a scary process.
It's just that awareness, isn't it, and the mindfulness of what you're taking in without just mindlessly allowing it.
Mm.
Because I think I could just quite happily, you know, exist on processed food and sugar and chocolate and ice cream, and I could just very happily just carry on, la 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 la, but without that kind of awareness of, oh, if I really just keep eating a lot of refined sugar, that is going to affect my mental health, because it does.
Mm-hmm.
You get highs and lows based on, you know, your insulin and your sugar, and then long term it's going to affect me to a point where I might really regret it. So it's just that kind of, do I want that extra bit? Do, you know, is this how I want my diet to be? And like not denying yourself, because I would never go, I'm going to give up everything. I'm going to give up all refined sugar. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I've tried it, and that didn't make me very happy. So it's about balance, moderation, and just awareness, I think.
Being really aware of how you feel when you eat something. You don't even have to change your diet right away at all.
No.
You don't want to.
No.
Just
notice if it gives you a slump.
Mm.
You know, because this, and also there's so many incredible things out there now where you can, I'm not going to mention any brand names, but you know, where you can kind of wear a patch and it, you know,
electrocutes you if you eat something bad.
No, that's definitely in the negative side, isn't it? But it kind of like, it just measures your blood sugar levels and that sort of thing.
Right, yeah.
And it kind of tells you if you eat something, you can monitor it throughout the day and it'll go, oh, that made your, that made you spike, that made you slump in terms of energy levels. Fascinating. There's so much sort of technology out there that can really help with things like that. I think intuitively you might know,
mm-hmm.
but my friend, I remember she was having porridge every morning thinking that that was a really great healthy start to the day. And she did one of these monitors and it gave her sort of quite a nice steady, but it just made her really slump at a certain point. And she would feel that. She'd be like, oh my God. And that's when you reach for the coffee or you reach for the sugar, the biscuits, whatever, what have you. And then you're like self-regulating. So you're not doing that because you enjoy it or mindfully. You're trying to get yourself out of this slump that you've created. So she works out that actually if she had some eggs and some toast, it kept her sustained for a lot longer and she didn't have that slump. And everyone's going to be different. That's one example of a million people. Everyone's going to be completely different. Someone that has porridge is going to go, woo, that's great, and like just keep going. Mm-hmm. because we're all just so different. So things like that can be quite an eye-opener if that's available to you. But otherwise, I suppose using your intuition and going, God, I slump every day. Like I noticed that I was had a very mild allergy to dairy. I don't think it's severe because I don't have any of the symptoms.
You don't die.
No, hopefully not. But I was having a coffee every, this is back in the day, back in the busy London days. I was having a grande coffee every morning from a certain well-known establishment. And every day my nose would run. At a certain point, so after I'd had my coffee, I would just be at my desk, whatever I was doing, and my nose would run. I was like, what's going on? And I thought I maybe had hay fever. I was like, but I've never had hay fever. And it was going on throughout the year. So I was like, right, that's just not hay fever. What's going on? Why is my nose running? And then I sort of read into it, and it turned out that can be it's an inflammation side effect of, being intolerant to dairy. So I switched to different milks, went completely. I was just like, wow. I've been putting up with that for ages without realizing.
Now that is a perfect example about why it's so important.
Yeah, there was immediate difference.
Mm.
And so now I don't not have jet. Like I will absolutely, in my morning coffee, I have my different milks. But if I want to eat a bit of cheese or something, I won't not have dairy at all.
Mm.
But I know that if I have a giant cup of it every morning, it's going to make my nose run. And I was like, it was really so I think it's that, isn't it? So if you notice something is happening almost like quite regularly that's quite is not great, then you sort of go, well, what's that maybe linked to, and just work backwards.
I think people should try it.
Yeah, well, if there's something, there might be nothing, you might go, oh, I don't have anything weird like that, but I find it with my joints as well. I notice if I haven't had I do kind of like to have turmeric in my tea and I take supplements. And I really do notice it if I haven't had it, because it's just, in my line of work and also going into in perimenopause, which is a whole nother topic of diet and how that completely throws everything you ever knew out of the window.
It certainly does.
We won't be talking about that today. I think that's another one. But, I've noticed that my joints have really, I can, I notice the real difference if I'm not supporting them with, some nice fish with your omegas and some turmeric, which is really good for joint support. So I think it's awareness as well, because I could just go, oh, my joints, but I think it's linked, I know it's all linked, and I know that it's linked to my mental health as well. So I always try to think, right, what's that from, what's happening, and then what's happening mentally if I'm having too much processed food. I know I get into a funk, I know I get into a slump. I crave vegetables. I'm like, I must have some vegetables. I need some of my whole foods. And that's, it's about listening to that instinct.
It's not easy to do. And it takes, it took me pretty much a lifetime before I was really, really aware of how food and drink affected me physically.
Yeah.
And emotionally, and even how it affects your sleep.
Yeah.
And with your joints. Yeah.
And that's the thing. And I think if you sort of rely too much on external information, going back to that kind of, every fad diet that you'll see in the media and do this, do that, all conflicting,
mm-hmm.
you can go around in circles. And actually, if you just pick one for the sake of it, because you think, oh, that sounds good, it could be completely counterintuitive to your own body. So I might pick one that's, yeah, it might be really bad for my joints because it's taking out all those, you know, whatever those nutrients that I need.
Mm-hmm.
I might be picking a diet that completely lacks that and therefore, yeah, just kind of like really just doing the wrong thing for my body.
Let's briefly touch on what we consume as far as media goes. Mm. You already discussed like social media, but other media like the television you watch,
yeah,
the shows you watch, the Netflix, yes, shows or whatever you want to say, television, movies.
Yeah.
And could be even the books that you read.
Yeah, yeah. Newspapers, it's all sort of, it's all media, isn't it? I mean, in terms of tabloid and news media, I gave most of that up quite a while ago under the instructions of my doctors at the time, because I had really high anxiety and me just reading all this terrible, because obviously we know that the news is negative, right?
Yeah.
You very rarely get positive news unless you follow something that's focused on positive news, which I actually do as well. And I was just ingesting all this negative stuff that I couldn't do anything about. That's the thing. It's kind of this, you know, some things you can act on, but mainly it was just awful stories about awful things that have happened by awful people that really I had no control over. And it was affecting my mental state to the point of anxiety. Sensationalism. What's the word? You know, everything gets sensationalized, so it feels worse than it is. You know, you're told about a war that's happening and you're seeing all these pictures and you're just like, oh my God, it just feels like it's very close. But, you know, it wasn't necessarily affecting me immediately. So I was at one point told, just stop watching, stop reading. And, you know, and I was told, you know, if anything affects me, it will come into my consciousness. If I need to know about it, it will come in. And it's true. I've never not known about anything important that's going on because I'll hear it somewhere or someone will talk about it or I'll see it. But I don't consume news. I can't do it. And I was told that I was weird for that or not. What was someone say that? Like, it's your duty to know what's going on.
Like, I've heard that many times.
Like, it's not my duty to know what's going on. I was like, what? But anyway. So there's that. So I guess I don't do that, but I do obviously watch movies and programs and I select what I want to watch. So does that make it better? I don't know.
I think maybe how you feel about what you're watching more than anything else. It's not even necessarily the thing that you watch. It's how you feel.
Yeah. I will quite happily watch a horror film just to scare myself. I love it.
And then so you don't find that like cranks up anxiety or anything?
No,
like, because
it's not real.
How do you know?
Whereas some people hate horror movies, don't they? They're like, oh, I can't sleep now. Whereas I just go, oh yeah, that was brilliant, straight off to sleep, because I just know it's fiction. You know, it doesn't play on my mind. I don't think, anyway. But yeah, but again, that's a conscious choice, isn't it? And some people consciously, like my sister, will not watch horror films. She's like, no, I'm not watching. but also, I think I do watch things based on my mood. Because if I want a good cry, I'm going to put a weepy film on.
Do you actually say to yourself, I want a good cry?
Yeah, sometimes.
Really?
Sometimes, yeah.
What? Why?
Yeah, because it's great. It's like releasing. But, I mean, it happens often anyway. I was watching something yesterday and I was just crying my eyes out because I was just like, oh my God, that's... But sometimes I will go, right, I need...
Interesting. Yeah. I've actually heard that before.
Yeah. I don't know if people do that. It'd be interesting to know if other people do that. I'm sure they must do. Because you pick your genre, right? If I'm watching a comedy, it's because I want to laugh. And if I'm watching action, it's because I want to be like, oh, enthralled. So if I know it's a sad film, I'm like, yep, plug me in. I'm going to have a good old cry.
Yeah, no thank you. Not for me, thank you. No, thank you.
But yeah, I think it's all good and valid if you're happy with it, you know.
Right. how you feel about what you're watching, like you said about the horror movie.
Yeah, exactly.
What one movie might completely freak me out and then play in the back of my mind for the next 6 years.
Yeah.
You are fine. You said...
Yeah. I would,
you're fine. You don't think about it. Oh, that was fun. That was scary.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yes.
Then some things that I like watching, other people just roll their eyes and go, oh my God, that sounds so boring.
Exactly. It's all personal preference, isn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's a good thing about the way we watch TV now, because, I mean, obviously it's all just on apps and we choose what we watch. Mm. But if you think about when we were younger, well, definitely over in England, we had 4 channels.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when the 4th came in, it was 3 channels for a long time. And there was a program schedule, and that is what we watched.
I wonder if that affects the country's viewing habits.
Yeah.
Growing up with that.
Yeah. And that is that the news was on, you know, without fail. Every person in the country would have watched that evening news. So we all had exactly the same information. You know, so now you've got so many streams of information that you can have a conversation with someone about something that you've never even heard of. Whereas then it was one point. We didn't have international news unless it came through our very one, you know, news channel. We didn't have anything. So it was just that. That was what we were told. That, and yeah. And then we all watched the same thing. So celebrities in those days were a whole different ballgame, because if you were on primetime TV on whatever, Channel 3, you were the biggest celebrity that would ever have been around. You know, there was obviously movies, but it was hard to get hold of them as well. Mm. It's like they were on cassette tape and you had to go to... There's people listening to this now going, what is she talking about? But you had to go into a shop and get that, you know, get the movie off the shelf. And it was like big blockbusters would, you know, they'd all be there. And then if you hadn't got the last copy, you couldn't watch it for the next week. And it was just, you know, it was a different time. A simpler time, but also maybe easier to... Oh, I don't know. I was going to say easier to sort of filter what we believed, because there was only one channel. But actually now, maybe there's too many, I think.
Well, we've got... That's the paradox of choice, really. Mm. But really, it doesn't matter what you watch, you know, what you eat to a certain degree, obviously, and who we spend time around. It's how those things make you feel.
Yeah.
Physically, emotionally, and even energetically, really.
Yeah. And I suppose statistically, you would say that we were happier in those days because we had less anxiety, less stress.
How do they know?
I don't know. Statistically.
This is not me asking you. This is just me asking generally.
Yeah. Well, I guess they would have measured over the years.
With what?
Happiness
a stick?
Levels.
A happy stick.
Levels? Yeah, a happy stick. But yeah, I mean, you know, if you listen, again, this is just what I'm consuming, is that anxiety is at an all-time high, mental health is at an all-time high. But like you say, how do they know versus 20, 30 years ago? You know, because they wouldn't have had the same measures and the same whatever. So again, that's all. I think, yeah, I don't know.
Just make sure that you look after yourself.
Yeah.
Really. Honestly. And that encompasses so much. Because if you boil it all down to why is diet so important in all aspects, it's because of how it makes you feel. And that includes physically, so how your body feels, and then mentally, how your emotions are, you know, emotionally, how your moods are, and energetically. Yeah. How your energy is going to be the foundation for any kind of decisions that you make.
Yeah, and I think also making them from a positive place. So making them from a place of being kind to yourself rather than starving yourself, lacking, punishing. And I think that for me is the key, and that's what I don't see. It's even the tone of words that people use. They're like, stop this, quit this, you know, get this. And you're like, oh, stop it. You know, it's a lot.
And plus it kind of makes you want to go, no, I'm going to do it more.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're very convincing, unfortunately. Lots of money spent on this marketing.
Well, don't watch. It's bad for you.
I try not to. It's hard.
Do you know where I can get one of those happy sticks?
We'll make one.
Thank you for joining the journey here on Resonant Space.
I've been Jo.
And Heidi.
And if you want to contact us, you can get in touch at our email address, info@the-humblewarrior.co.uk. So just if you have any questions about any episodes, if you have any topics you'd like us to explore, or if you are a practitioner yourself and would like to come on the podcast and discuss a subject, that would be amazing. So yes, feel free to get in touch. Thank you.